Kia ora, ko Katie Scott Churahoe, ane te pūrongo tōrangapū mō tēnei wiki. Welcome to Focus on Politics.
Hi, good morning, Jacinda. I don't know what time of day it is with you. Kia ora, I should say. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. It's about 9 o'clock at night here.
A sign of the times. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern and her British counterpart Boris Johnson celebrating a historic free trade deal via Zoom.
Jacinda, I just want to say this is a big moment for the UK and for our partnership with New Zealand. And we're absolutely thrilled that we seem to have driven for the line. We've scrummed down, we've packed tight, and we've got the ball over the line. And we have a deal. And I think it's a great deal.
Thank you, Prime Minister. And look, I loved your use of rugby metaphors, but if we were going to continue that on, then naturally it would conclude with the All Blacks winning. And I know that New Zealand feels that way with this free trade agreement, but it's good for both of us as it happens.
The in-principle free trade agreement with the UK is worth an estimated $1 billion over 15 years to the New Zealand economy. Tariffs on 97% of New Zealand's existing exports, including wine, honey and onions, will be removed when the deal comes into effect. It'll be 5 years before all tariffs are gone on butter and cheese, and 15 for sheep meat and beef, with transitional quotas being rolled out in the meantime. The Meat Industry Association's Chief Executive Sir Makara Piva says while the length of the transition period is disappointing, it's still a good deal.
It is an ongoing market of interest for the industry, and this just gives our exporters a lot more certainty and the ability to compete on a level playing field.
The honey industry is thrilled with the agreement. Apiculture New Zealand's chief executive, Karen Koss, says the removal of tariffs on exports to the UK will improve competition in one of its largest markets.
The UK is worth about $70 million annually to New Zealand, and it just opens the opportunity to really just boost growth in that area, in that market.
Investor state dispute rules caused major controversy in previous trade negotiations. Those types of provisions, effectively allowing foreign firms to sue governments, were a particular bone of contention in the Comprehensive and Progressive Agreement for Trans-Pacific Partnerships, but they won't feature in the UK FTA. Trade Minister Damien O'Connor says they were ruled out from the start.
Investor dispute settlement processes are simply not in this. They never have been. We've said we won't have it, and we've just moved on from that. And clearly, between two nations that have systems of high integrity, open, transparent, then it was never really an issue.
NZ International Business Forum Executive Director Stephen Jacoby would have preferred to see investor state dispute rules included.
I think it provides added protection for foreign investors, and it provides protection for New Zealand investments in offshore markets. I mean, between the UK and New Zealand, it would be most unlikely that we would have to have recourse to ISDS because both of us have systems of the rule of law, very similar legal systems, and there are plenty of remedies that can be taken through the domestic legal system to address problems between investors and governments. But I think the broader point is that why do we put in place these protections if they can't be adequately backed up?
Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern says New Zealand and the UK will now work towards getting a final agreement in place. She hopes it will be in force by next year.
Our expectation at this stage is by next year to have that work complete and for our exporters to benefit from what is we believe, a world-leading and a historic deal for New Zealand.
Talks between New Zealand and the UK began in June last year in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. It's meant negotiations happened almost entirely online. But Trade Minister Damien O'Connor has twice travelled to Europe to discuss trade, both with the UK and the European Union. Ministry of Foreign Affairs Deputy Secretary for Trade and European Free Trade Agreement Chief Negotiator Vangelis Vitalis has joined the minister on both occasions, but he hasn't yet returned to New Zealand, having tested positive for COVID-19, a reminder of just how unpredictable and challenging this pandemic is. Damien O'Connor, however, has just about finished his second stint in MIQ.
Look, it's strange. When you go to Singapore Airport, Changi Airport there, and there's no one to be seen in the long corridors ahead of you, you realise it's a strange world that we're moving into. And that's pretty much the case for all the airports, while in some countries there's... people are moving around and it seems to be back to normal, Sweden being one of those countries. Look, everyone's living differently. They are still taking precautions. Many, of course, are still wearing masks. So there's not normal pre-COVID behaviour anywhere across the world. And it's just one of the things we're just going to have to get used to.
What are some of the challenges of negotiating trade deals in a pandemic?
Look, I think 2 years ago, if we'd said we could conduct as much business as we do on Zoom, no one would have believed it. No one would have trusted the process. But we've moved on, and I think it's been a credit to everyone involved that we can deal in an honest, upfront way, negotiating trade agreements, which are really tricky, talking about normal commercial arrangements or personal arrangements. We're doing it now in the virtual world, and I think this... I guess that's one of the positive things that we've learned from COVID. There's not too much positive from it, but I guess the efficiency of virtual communication means that I don't think we'll ever go back to total reliance on person-to-person contact.
Despite the logistical challenges thrown up by the pandemic, negotiators managed to get the deal, the UK's second since Brexit, across the line in just over a year. British High Commissioner Laura Clark says it's been a top priority for Britain.
That was really in recognition of New Zealand's track record in innovating in trade policy. You know, so there's something quite exciting about combining New Zealand's track record in innovating in trade policy with the UK's scale and global reach. And so what we can do, of course, on goods, but also on services, but what we can do on the really innovative areas. And there's a lot in this agreement that is really innovative and different, around climate and sustainability, around gender in trade, trade and development, high standards on animal welfare, and of course the inclusion of an Indigenous trade chapter.
Stephen Jacoby says the in-principle agreement is one of New Zealand's most advanced.
Long gone are the days when governments can simply agree to reduce tariffs and address non-tariff barriers. Sometimes we'd wish they would actually agree a little more on that. But that trade today isn't just about trade. Trade agreements aren't just about cross-border movements of goods and services. They're about behind the border issues, and they're about what we used to once upon a time, at least in economist parlance, call the externalities of trade. So things that impacted on trade, like labour conditions and the environment and various social concerns. We see all these in the NZ-UK agreement in principle. And I just think it shows that trade agreements are coming of age, and I think all governments are very keen to demonstrate that they're not making these agreements in a vacuum, that they are making sure that they can work for all people, that they are addressing these so-called externalities like climate and labour and associated matters. I think when it comes to the issues of concern to Māori, this one is clearly a trailblazer, because whereas we have the Treaty of Waitangi exemption in all our FTAs, this one takes things a little bit further by seeking to address how to promote, Māori interests in the UK, including through the protection of Mātauranga Māori. I just think this is an evolution we are seeing before our eyes.
The agreement is a step in diversifying trade away from China, New Zealand's largest trading partner. In her first major speech on China in April, Foreign Affairs Minister Nanaia Mahuta urged New Zealand to reduce its reliance on China for export incomes.
In thinking about long-term economic resilience, we also understand that there is value in diversity. Just as the Council has noted, it is prudent not to put all eggs in a single basket. The New Zealand Government will continue to work with business to pursue a range of trade opportunities.
Charles Finney was a lead negotiator of the China-New Zealand Free Trade Agreement in 2008. He says the UK FTA provides another option for exporters.
I'm not one that thinks that we should be diversifying per se from China, but I think that every exporter should be very aware of the risks that they might be taking if they are trying to send a particularly large proportion of their product or services to the China market. things can go wrong for a whole host of reasons. Yeah, we've had at the start of last year COVID restrictions, and those are actually still continuing from time to time throughout China. We've got the precedent of what's happening to Australia because of political differences. There are a whole host of things that could go wrong with the Chinese market. So it's always wise to have other markets to go to and other markets that will be prepared to pay almost the same price the Chinese are prepared to pay for imports. And I think the UK is one of those that stands out as an enormous opportunity.
National's Nicola Griggs says there are plenty of other opportunities out there too.
We would love to see ongoing discussions with nations like India and America. We have just ratified the RCEP agreement, Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, of which India was initially on board and then pulled out late in the piece. Likewise, we had the CPTPP with America on board, and then under President Trump, they pulled out. It would be wonderful to see countries like those re-access agreements like those as well.
The focus will now be on securing a trade deal with the European Union. Negotiations were formally launched in 2018, but progress has been slow. And there have been a few very large bumps in the road along the way. Most notably, last year, details of the EU's initial market access offer were leaked to the media. David Parker, who was Trade Minister at the time, said this was insulting. He told Morning Report's Corin Dan the offer was derisory.
We were very disappointed both with the poor quality of the offer, which really was protectionist of their interests.
How bad was it? Just for in layman's terms, how bad was this in terms particularly for dairy farmers?
Well, at the moment, the European Union exported a kilogram of cheese per head of population to New Zealand. The offer back the other way was 3 grams of cheese per European consumer, and even then with tariffs and volumetric controls. You can, you know, at the moment, the European Union has a 2-to-1 goods surplus with New Zealand. So as a country, we import $5.5 billion more goods than they import from us.
Stephen Jacoby says an FTA with the EU is long overdue and the government needs to make every effort to get it over the line.
Obviously, we've just had Damien O'Connor in Europe meeting with European ministers and with Commissioner Dombrovskis. I think that's extremely positive. I know that the Prime Minister had a conversation with the EU President a few weeks ago. That also is extremely good. Negotiators are doing the work they need to do. And there seems, by the way, to be some willingness on both sides to try to accelerate that work. I hope it can be achieved. If governments have the political will, they can make these decisions in a speedy manner. But it will require a bit of flexibility, inevitably on both sides. One aspect that is a bit more difficult is that EU policy has been developing since we started this negotiation. And things like the EU Green Deal, for example, which is about sustainability and achieving carbon neutrality by 2050, all of these are impacting on this negotiation in ways that weren't really thought about when we first started this long process.
Damien O'Connor says the government is doing everything it can.
That work is going on now as we speak. There's been a lot of pressure. There's a lot of detail to be worked through. And it's probably been unfair pressure that we've put on negotiators. But both sides, the EU and ourselves, see the value of moving this ahead as quickly as we can.
The talks and negotiations between the EU and New Zealand have been ongoing since 2018. There have been at least 11 rounds of talks. What are the sticking points and, yeah, what are the challenges that the negotiators are having to work through?
The sensitive issues often come back to some of the agricultural ones, sheep, meat, beef and dairy. Geographical indicators, these are long-standing heritage issues and commercial issues for the EU. And so we have to work through some tricky issues where we have been utilising some of those geographical indicators in names of products that we export. We've got to work through to an agreement of how we respect their rights and their expectations on GIs and how we can continue to export, you know, quality products that are similar to, if not identical to, what have been termed or been claimed as geographical indicators, where the intellectual property for that remains with the EU. So, you know, those are some of the challenging issues.
Do you expect that we might be able to reach an agreement by the end of the year?
We're always ambitious. We were for the UK deal, and we've made good progress. So we'll continue to be ambitious for the EU deal. But, you know, as we said with the UK, and I think both parties, both UK and EU, want to ensure that it's a high quality agreement for both them and for us. And so we're not going to compromise those objectives just to meet a deadline that we'll set ourselves.
The renewed focus on trade negotiations with the EU has prompted questions about whether the Prime Minister will travel to Europe. Jacinda Ardern says she has nothing to confirm as talks reach a critical juncture. Under usual circumstances, she says, leaders would support the conclusion of trade talks. But these are unusual times. That's Focus on Politics. I'm Katie Scotcher. Thanks for joining us. Mā te wā.